Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Forever. This is a topic of today's show, and not only. We are celebrating couple love, beautiful married couple love, and happens that they are somebody so special that I wish we have cameras here, because my words cannot describe how gorgeous they are. Before I say why I think they are so beautiful and so gorgeous, I will just say that we had a Veterans Day. And this show is really dedication. And we are celebrating Veterans Day, because in our studio we have a married couple. And they are not like married couple. They have few lives that they live together, separate, together, and separate. And what a life story and love story. Then today, like always, Ilona Europa doesn't like to change people's names. Then I want my guests to introduce themselves the right way. If not, there will be accented way. But for right now, okay, let's introduce our guest to our listeners.
Senior Master Sergeant Aaron McPherson.
Repeat, Aaron. This is so amazing. The words, the four words that describe you, extraordinary. Who?
Aaron McPherson.
And who? Please give me your description of your position.
I'm a senior master sergeant in the Air Force, the reserve component of the Air National Guard, so in the Air National Guard.
This is so serious and so beautiful and so patriotic and so just amazing, her life story. People, you will love to hear her life story. And how lucky I am. I am with us in the studio guest who already was my guest on Accent On probably 2 years ago. That was amazing. And he's her husband, Scott. Could you introduce yourself to our listeners too?
Yeah, my name is Scott McPherson.
Okay, and your position?
I'm also a senior master sergeant in the California Air National Guard. And I am currently a senior enlisted manager of the 562nd Air Force Band, Air National Guard Band of the West Coast.
What did we find out from them? Then not only they are married couple, they love each other. We'll talk a little bit about the unusual way of how sometimes they needed to not be together and then come back and they're perfect. And they have their own life right now, a little bit here and there, different. But music is something that keeps them going. And I think music would put them together. I don't even know how to start the show. Then I will do Ilona's way. I just will ask the question, and I'm praying that Scott and Aaron will just pick up the vibe, what I wanted to describe about them, and they will go for with that. Because I told them this is their 50 minutes, and I want people to understand that we love you so much, both of you, and everybody that you, of course, together make us secure in this country and in this world, you know, the profession that you represent. This is not easy one. It's not easy one. And you look at me with this beautiful, both of you, like, okay, cool. She's talking. Yeah, we heard this. That's our life. That's our story. No, it's not. It's not. This is something very, very serious. And I believe the respect is from public so big towards what you do. And sometimes we don't know even that maybe you will leave everything behind, being mother, leaving children, being, you know, wife, leaving husband, and you decide to deploy yourself twice. We'll talk about this too. What a decision that woman needs to make to just do what she thinks is right in the moment when she makes decision. Then, I would love to know you, Erin. when you were 16 years old, and maybe let's start from this moment. You were the beautiful 16, like maybe almost out of the high school. You were also born and raised in an amazing family. Then if you want to describe maybe how it was the beginning, why you become who you are right now, who you were for so many years, and if you can introduce husband, because your lives are intertwining in a beautiful way in a family-wise, you know, it's something that, again, what a family when it comes to patriotism and dedication to the country, okay? Then start. Start Erin right now. And Scott, take over whenever you think you need to give us something about you.
Well, first of all, I think I just want to say thank you for having us on the show. It's just, I know this has been a 2 year in the making since I came back from my first deployment in 2013.
I know when Scott was here and we were talking, you know, a day later I got a letter from you and you were not in America. Where have you been when you wrote to me? Do you remember?
In Afghanistan.
Oh my gosh, okay, not so. I was in Afghanistan. What did you do there?
Well, I took a leave of absence. Maybe I need to back up a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm also stationed in the 562nd Air Force Band, and we are musical ambassadors. We are the reserve component of the Air Force, and I've been in the group for about 18, 19 years, total of 22 years service, because I was in active duty. When I was 18, I joined the military at 18. And so then I had a 17-year break in service, and then I auditioned for this group. So that's how I came to be in this amazing band and this unit that I'm in. And that's where I met Scott. That's a whole nother love story.
No, that's a love story. Okay, Scott, I was asking them, was this love from the first sight, from both of their points of view? And they had, like, Erin, you said?
No,
okay.
I didn't like him.
Okay. Oh,
I didn't understand his humor. We were in different places in our life, and it's just getting to know him. And what
Scott,
an amazing man he is.
What do you think? When you saw her, you were like, okay, she's the one?
No, not at all. Not at all. I was married at the time. Not in a good marriage. So my life was somewhere else. And she was one of those airmen. They just came through, several of them. And at that time, I wasn't really in a leadership position. Okay. I was just pretty much a section leader. And she was stuck in my section. So she was an airman that was coming up under me. And that's really all it was.
Just we became friends.
Wow.
It was a good
then when the project. Real love story started, like, we need to know when you both decided that, wow, something is important here. Something is cooking.
Well,
maybe love is in the air.
Well, not for a while, because he was where he was
yeah,
in his
of course.
Life. And then he got out of his situation, and this friendship just developed. And after a very short courting period of time, dating... Wait, no, wait. I don't even think we didn't even date.
You decided that you know in this moment?
Yes.
We were friends for so many years before that, and we hang out in the same group. We had the same friends, and there was a group of us. When we would tour, we were always hanging out together. So it.
And how many years you both are together right now?
17.
17 beautiful, beautiful, mm-hmm. wonderful days.
Oh,
you are mama, yes?
I am.
You
two,
have?
Two beautiful children, Lizzie, who is 29, and Adam, who is 26.
And of course, Scott.
And
you were the daddy when wife wasn't around?
Yep.
Even when they were grown up?
Yeah, that was my job.
That was your job, you know? That takes a lot, you know, probably. I'm sure they're wonderful children. How they cannot be
there.
Having mama like that. Then did you feel pressure to be great or better father than you ever could imagine because she wasn't around? Because they were almost grown-ups. Then someday this decision and problems in life, they could be maybe more serious.
Yeah, we were already, married 12 years plus.
Mm-hmm. That they were used
at
to
that
perfect.
Point, yeah. You know, and with her when we got married, I mean, one thing I said for her, so you're bringing the children, they're my kids.
Beautiful.
I never want to hear, you're not my dad, and I never want her to say, they're not your children, you can't discipline them.
Of course.
So from the beginning, she was like, this is your dad, and you take care of it.
Well, the one thing is that he asked the kids if he could marry us. It wasn't. He was marrying me. He was marrying us.
That's only happened in the movies.
Yeah, so
you reinvented that before you decided.
So it was beautiful.
Beautiful. Okay, now then, we have this beautiful right now. Okay, we know that you met, but I would like still come back to the time when you were young and you were raised in a family really very patriotic. And your daddy was?
Was in the Navy.
And Scots?
My father was had a 43-year career in the Air National Guard, always with the Air National Guard.
Wow. Then you had no idea that one day you will be deployed to Afghanistan.
No. You know, I think I was raised on a farm, was raised with a very strong work ethic, and originally from Washington State. And my brother joined the Navy, and he was in the Navy for 26 years. And it just came a point in after I graduated from high school, what was I going to do? And I wanted to sing. And I heard about the Air Force Band, so I auditioned for an active duty Air Force Band and made the audition and then was stationed at Scott Air Force Base. So that started my military career. Didn't think I was going to go in the military, but it just led me down that path. And it was a great experience, but it was an experience that I needed to get out at that particular time, only after 4 years. But I didn't think I would come back in, but I had a 17-year break in service, and then someone heard me sing the national anthem at a local baseball game and said, "Hey, you need to join the Guard." And my reaction was, what's a guard? They didn't tell me when I was getting out of active duty service what the Air National Guard was.
And so that was the moment in your life that changed it all.
So I auditioned for the band and got in the band and now have been in the Air National Guard for 18 or 19 years.
Okay, then we will probably, this is the perfect moment to just listen to your voice. And it's so unusual because you sing a lot, but you do not have recordings from the studio. And I said we need to take care of this eventually. And I would love to help book the studio, really nice one, and they will love to record your voice. You know, we need to do it. Your voice is beautiful. But I would be honored for us to listen.
Thank you.
To America.
The beautiful.
That's what we will listen to. One can be singing with big band, with the sound, you know, just even in pop world to have big orchestra behind you, big band. Oh, it's just what an honor.
Truly.
You're lucky, Scott. You really live life filled with music also.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He was playing on the drums.
I know. Yeah, we had him in the show. But fact is that you both met loving music. You fell in love. you know, being on a tour together, the sound of big band is just over my, how everybody loves the sound of big band. It's like a so throwback to the past, but the strength of the band as a one. There's not so many sounds like that in the world right now. You need to have 17, 18 years to having big band under control, or, you know, to have this so perfect sound, you know. Then with you, for so many years also being a singer there, yeah, you're right, the honor, big, big honor. But that was not good enough, I would not say. You still felt like it's something else for you to reach for. What makes you to decide that you want to be deployed? This was your decision?
It was my decision. I wanted to deploy because I wanted to do something bigger than myself. And it was an opportunity to get outside and experience a bigger Air Force, a bigger world, an opportunity that a lot of people, only 1% of people serve in the military. Can you even imagine that? 1% serve in the military. And so, for me, and
there being and, the 1%,
and that experience, I wanted to go experience what that was like.
Oh, but we are not talking about little things. We are taking you out of your wonderful family,
my comfort
husband's arms. So he loves you, I know, and he knows how we'll talk about you too, because obviously this is, you were deployed too. Then you had these memories, yes?
Yeah, I think that's really what brought this for her. Was I deployed in 2008 as a musician.
Yeah.
And, of course, our job was to take, we take a small rock combo and we deploy to the forward operating bases, the FOBs that the USO can't go to because it's too dangerous. So we're playing and we're armed. But at the time I did the deployment, the children were still under 18, and so they wouldn't allow her to deploy because we had dependents.
Yeah.
So that took that chance away from her. So me coming back and telling her what an experience and how fulfilling it was, really, I think, put a little fire under her, and then she went and looked for her own avenue.
That's a great word that you said, put a fire in her, and you know, the wanting to experience the same way. But that's not what a woman, any woman that I know, will say, that's what I really want. I want to wake up one day. I want to be in Afghanistan, and I want to feel how tough can be, and I won't be in this 1% to know that I am part of this amazing group of people who are just saving our lives and you know, look over safety for all of us. Okay, I still don't understand. I really am so full of respect because, yeah, I'm looking at you. Can I say that you are not like 5'11"?
No, 4'11".
She's 4'11".
Yeah.
Tiny, beautiful lady, okay?
I'm mighty. I'm tough.
Wow,
I'm a tough
cookie. Wow. Did you know, Scott, that she's a tough cookie when you met her?
Oh, yeah.
You knew it. And that would...
Well, I won't say the first time, because the first time I met her, and she went on our first deployment, I think she brought 20 pairs of shoes.
Very ladylike.
Our first tour.
Yeah. So I knew, okay, she's not... She needs to get back in the swing of things.
Yeah,
but
I
she
did
learned,
not know how to pack
she
back
learned
then.
Quickly.
Wow. Okay, now then, let's come back, Erin, to your decision.
Well, I had the support of my commander
yeah.
and the entire senior staff and the leaders at the 146 Airlift Wing. So with that support, I threw my name in a hat for a non-specific deployment. So I left my career field, the band career field, and deployed to go work with not at Scott Air Force Base, but for that team. And so I had a few days of training, or one day of training at Scott Air Force Base, and 3 days of training in Afghanistan, and it was like sink or swim. And
wow.
So it was an amazing experience because I got to do something that was way out of my comfort zone, and I had to learn fast. And I think that I'm pretty smart, so it was an experience that you had to just catch on quick. Not only that, but you're learning a new job. You're getting used to an environment, a very harsh environment. Your sleeping
schedule
is
mostly,
there
are not a lot of ladies there, yes?
Oh, no, there's quite a few women there.
Really?
Oh, yeah, quite a few.
I want to know that, too.
Yes, absolutely.
What position they're in there?
So I...
They do everything from...
For everything. They do...
It's no animal separation.
Nope.
It's like they can do everything.
They can do everything.
And that's what we see, and really, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. The ladies can do everything,
right.
Yes.
We can.
You can.
And so for that. I was there 5 months the first time, had a great team of people from the commander that I worked under. And not only that, but I work with coalition forces, NATO forces, because at that time it was a NATO base. So it was being around people that were from other countries, working with other people, and learning a job that you had to really be right on and spot.
Okay, if I may ask,
sure.
I would love to know how was your day from the moment when you woke up? What was your day like?
Well,
no first coffee right away, or
no,
coffee the same?
I'm waking.
Oh, it's cool. In California, hot. Let's like coffee, dog walk, or something.
Well, I like to go to the gym in the morning
because
I would get it over with, and it was a lot cooler because Afghanistan can be cold and it can be hot. And so I like to get it over with, especially on my second deployment. But I had to walk to work.
What time did you wake up?
I got up about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, come on.
No, really.
That's no vacation. This is like, you know, I went.
You have to understand that.
Because you speak like this was like the most important part. It was so wonderful. We talk like that when we go for vacation. Oh, that was like, I wanted this so much.
I
and
wake
so
up
badly.
At 4 o'clock now.
Okay, I can understand that because now I know you a little more, and not only did you remember this for years, but I think it's in you. You just feel like you don't want to waste daylight or something. Yeah. You need to start much earlier to go with your life. But 4 in the morning, and then you woke up there, and of course you wanted to exercise, and then?
And then go back, take a shower, go to chow, get some food, go to the dining facility, get some food, walk to work. I had to walk about a mile or half a mile to work, and half a mile back. And then you do the briefings in the morning, find out what happened the night before, on the shift before, and then you start your day. And my job was to basically coordinate parking for million-dollar planes.
Please, people, I know this is so easy, like listening to her, and she says coordinating parking for what?
Well, because
for
planes,
what coordinating planes, parking for what? I'm not talking Mercedes and little GMC or whatever chase cars. For what?
For million-dollar planes. Planes had to come in with cargo, with passenger, and they have to have permission to come into that airfield. And I was stationed at Kandahar Airfield, Afghanistan. So the planes had to have permission to come in. So it was my job and the team that I had to coordinate
the placement,
that
parking. Coming, going, the tiny 411, tiny and the big airplanes.
But
you know,
it's a team effort. So I had a team of people that I worked with. It wasn't just me. It was the team of people helping to coordinate all of these things that we did.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay. Yeah. And then your day was ending like at 3 p.m. or like 8 a.m.?
Well, the first 2 weeks.
P.m.
Because I didn't, needed have the experience. I actually stayed over and helped the girl on the next shift.
Yeah.
We worked together to make sure that we knew what we were doing we felt comfortable enough to take an 8-hour shift by ourselves.
Okay.
And then the rest of the evening is yours. Either go back to the gym because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. Or did you have a chance to sing?
I did.
A little bit.
I did. I actually volunteered to sing national anthems for change of ceremonies, command, change of ceremonies, anything that I could.
And you mentioned 5 months.
First deployment. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Afghanistan.
Yes.
Okay, Scott.
Actually, I want to, she makes it sound so simple. I
know. I love her. I love her. I know she's tough. I know that I can't even imagine one day being there in her shoes.
Right. What she doesn't explain is that the airfields have certain amount of ramps that are available for certain types of aircraft, and they have to keep moving. So if they have a hot ramp, which they're not allowed to shut the planes down, she's going to make sure that plane's down there for so long, and then they're out. Or if they have bringing in munitions, there's an outer ramp that they have to be on, and they have to be there so long on the floor. Each aircraft has a certain amount of allotted time that they can actually be on a ramp, depending on what aircraft. So, she's got to coordinate all these things.
And we are talking almost warlike situation on a daily basis, okay?
Yes.
And I know I had a chance to talk a little bit to try to learn, for you to learn my accent. And I told Erin, hey, if you don't get it, what I'm saying, accent. You just say, huh? What did you say? But anyway, I think she's doing a great job to understanding me. She's a tough lady and she understands. But a musical ear, is very good to pick up people's
but
accents.
But your accent's beautiful.
Oh, I love you. Thank you so much. Cannot get rid of my accent. But, yeah, we were talking a little bit at the lobby at LA Talk Radio. Because we say, okay, you are far away, but then you mention we are so lucky to have ability mm-hmm. to talk and speak to. Hey, people love me, but they will not answer this phone. Okay, sorry. A live show. And yeah, you said we are lucky that we have cell phones and we have Skype and stuff like that. But one day, what's happened one day?
Well, let me just say modern technology did help it to be easier, and I can't even imagine what it was like for those people who came before us, that they, in Vietnam, in World War II, and all the other conflicts, because our modern technology, I got to talk to him every day if I wanted to. I got to FaceTime with my kids, and so that made it easier to be away, because I could see them, I could talk to them.
But then Scott said, one day, what's happened?
One day, we were on the phone, and I had to hang up rather quickly because there was a rocket attack. And, of course,
again,
Scott,
repeat?
A rocket attack.
We are...
Yes.
My God.
It's so.
And you said what? You bothered talking normally,
and
now...
I gotta go.
And he knew right away. Yes, what's going on, Scott? What was your feelings?
I was just, okay, she'll call me back when... What's going on is over, and I just have to sit there and wait and hope that she's safe.
And she called you how long later?
Yeah, maybe the next day.
Next day.
Oh,
probably.
My gosh, that's a long time. Yeah. Wow. And hopefully there was like a week before you were flying back to home.
No.
That was just the beginning.
Yeah. But you know, I have trust in all the professionals that are there that they're going to keep her safe. Mm-hmm. And there are some... highly trained people that keep those things from going where the enemy wants them to go. And so you have to trust those people that they're going to do their job and that they're there to protect you and watch your back.
Beautiful. I'm speechless. And then, yes, I'm looking at you. You both are in your uniforms and you call this?
A ribbon rack. They are
both
the
of you, just the most beautiful, colorful, meaningful awards. And I would love a little bit to describe maybe... the one that maybe you got first, the one that maybe I cannot say meant the most for you, because I'm sure everything would you have on your chest is something so, so special. But if you can give us a little description. Both of you have similar awards, like I ask you for, yes?
Yes.
Is anything that Erin doesn't have, what Scott has on his chest?
Well, I served as a first sergeant, so I have...
Okay.
I have something for that, and I... currently have a Meritorious Service Medal, but hers is in the works. But I also have a lot more years in than she does.
Yes. Okay. He's been in for, you started your 38th year?
In February,
wow. 38th year. So that's pretty good.
That's a pretty long service. That's amazing, 38 years. Your first one, because always the first one that you got. Do you remember which one?
Actually, it was... this one from Active Duty, which was the Outstanding Unit Award.
Okay.
From Active Duty.
And how this happens when you really find out that they want to award you your first?
You're notified.
And then it's like big deal, or it's just, you get it?
You know, it's an honor to receive an accommodation, an award for things that you've done. We don't ask for it. It that happens, and it's an honor. We're in the military because we want to be here. We want to serve our country. We're blessed because we serve as a musician. And the opportunities that come for us are tenfold. The opportunities to deploy in a non-AFSC, we call it, capacity. So I was able to deploy twice.
Yeah, I want to talk about this because you came back to your home. And we were talking a little bit that you felt out of the place in California, in your home.
Well, when I came home...
That was the first time or second time?
First time I came home, I I was a little messed up in my head, and all the things and thoughts were going. A little PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. It wasn't as bad as, you know, the other soldiers that are on the front line, but it's a situation where your normal is now wearing a gun. Your normal now is hearing those sounds of war sounds, F-16s and rocket attacks, and those are the normal. And so when I came home, I wanted my normal to be normal again.
I just wanted to record this for a little bit because, you know, this is not on the camera show. We had a year ago for whole year a right to film certain things, but no. But I just need for the second, and I want people know that I will be a little bit on a video recording, maybe for 30 seconds live, my beautiful guest, because it's just... This doesn't happen too often. Then, continue. Then you said that when you came back from the first deployment, you really felt out of...
I felt out of sorts.
Yeah.
And so
you didn't carry the gun. You felt right. Like your peaceful, normal life
here... Little paranoid, yeah.
...is not what you are used to.
So I actually went behind my husband's back and was seeking out another deployment because I wanted to go back.
Oh, my gosh. That's like betrayal, a tiny little bit behind husband's back.
I wanted my normal to be normal again. And so I was actively searching for another deployment. But on Christmas Eve morning, 2013, I received an email from my contact and asked me if I wanted to go back and head up that team again. And I said, let me break it to my family.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. As a wife and a husband, happy married couple, this was surprise. Or you were like, go woman. I know something wrong with you.
It wasn't a big surprise because I knew that she really wanted a deployment. And originally they told her that they weren't accepting Air National Guard members to this deployment anymore. So we thought it was going to be gone. But I know what she does and I know what she was going through and I supported it 100%.
I still say I admire you because most of husbands, there will be not so welcoming decision of wife to go even to mall for shopping for longer. Not only say, you know, I understand. I don't want to make this light decision because it was the hardest decision probably for both of you. That was important for both of you, for you to let her go, but for you, Erin, to really experience one more time to go back to something that you felt like you miss. You are missing in your life, and you needed to face again the second deployment. And that was for 6 months, yes?
Yes. There's reasons why I believe that that timing was right.
Okay.
And I was there at the right time for me. I actually, about a month into it, met a gentleman who was actually a clinical hypnotherapist. And he was giving, I didn't know he was a therapist at that time, but he was giving a... comedy show.
Interesting.
There, and I wasn't going to go, but I could feel myself getting a little depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to go, and I laughed for an hour and a half at this comedy hypnosis show in the middle of Afghanistan. But it was the most awesome thing, being able to laugh, and that I could feel the depression starting to go away. So a couple of days later, well, I went backstage and I said, thanks for allowing me to laugh. Thanks for giving me that treat to laugh. And a couple of days later, I met him at the dormitory. He was wearing a naval officer uniform.
Wow.
Yeah, Michael Johnson. And so I just looked at him and I said, wow. And I told him a story about how I used to play hypnotic CDs for my kids to sleep better and study better. And he said to me, you have an interest. And I said, yes, absolutely. I believe that this works. And so he said, would you like to learn more? That very night, I went up to my room, and I emailed him and said, when do we start? And through learning hypnosis, because if I wasn't at work, if I wasn't at the gym, I was down at the hospital learning the relaxation techniques and the what hypnosis was and is and how it can help our troops. And so I was in training to be a clinical hypnotherapist. So through hypnosis, through that training, through working on other people, I did not come back with the PTSD like I did before on the previous deployment. I came back more centered. I came back happier, knowing that my mission was complete, that I didn't have to search for another deployment.
What a journey. journey to understanding yourself also. You know, you have tough decision, but the strength of the woman, you know, I was a little saying my life was not easy for the last 4 years. You know, your life I cannot compare with, because your decision I would never make on my own. I cannot imagine myself to be in your position. And the strength of woman, sorry, men are strong and they're supposed to be like, God made you this way. But for us, everybody look at us and say, oh, she's so gentle, she cannot. But we can move the mountains. Ladies,
yes,
women, wives, mothers. We have war with our war. We have war within us. Mm-hmm. And we need to be the strength for everything. And then we have the real war, which you were part of. You needed to really protect your friends, and being protected there and protected whatever mission was for you, so serious. But you, like you say, to taking care of your psychological issue and finding the answers, mm-hmm. which seems like hypnosis is something that
yes.
you really believe deeply, can help soldiers.
It can.
And studying that and just come back a little bit more center. Center is a very good word mm-hmm. for everything what we are going in life, mm-hmm. for searching what will be the next step, next day, next 5 years in our lives. We are always like not happy looking and searching for something. And eventually one day we decide that, okay, I found myself in mm-hmm. certain situation. Did you have, because like I said, Scott, you look so content. Like, yes, life is good right now. Is everything great? I really think, yeah, you're very funny guy. You probably, like you said, he has probably good sense of humor. Towards life, hopefully. I don't know you very well, only second time, but I know a little bit your family, your sister, amazing sister. Could you tell us a little bit who is your sister?
Oh. Yeah. Crystal Lee is my sister.
Crystal Lee was our guest too. She's amazing, also singer, yes?
Yes.
And what a lovely family, really. It's just amazing. The love that is in both the families is so, so deep. But did you ever feel like nervous, something's wrong with your life, everything is a chaos, you need to figure out what will be the next step after when you leave Air Force? Did you have the decision what your life will be right after? What was your transition like to the normal, whatever we call this normal in your life? Both of your lives will come back to it. You know, what are you doing now?
Well, we're still serving, so, but we have our own plumbing company, so it between
that's a very interesting thing, I think, because you say word we. I love that. You know, we have company. What is the name of your business?
McPherson Plumbing.
And then if we go on one of your Facebooks, do we have like link to your business? I think we need to promote something, because trust no. me, I am the first one now calling you if anything will be wrong, because come on, who can I trust, even the both of you, to do a great job?
Well, it's a one-man shop.
That's okay.
We did have employees, but I run the office and take care of the books, and he's out in the field, and it just works for us.
But that's what I'm going. You know, this is my direction, that is so many lives in both of you. You have so many different things going on in life, and you started as a in a plumbing business, Scott?
Actually, I started in the grocery business.
Even better, you know.
I just ended up in the plumbing business.
You know, but again, this is like a left-right. It seems like life can really get you to so many different ways and find the happiness and the center in what you both are right now. We are the beautiful word, both of you. We. You are always using word we, what you do right now. You have business, and you both enjoy that.
I think that you have to be open to the opportunities. Open yourself up for and take a chance on yourself. And that's what we had to do, is to take a chance on us. He wasn't supported in his old plumbing company job, that the person didn't support him in his military career. And so we took a chance. And he came home one day and said, we need to do something different. And I said, okay, let's put a plan together. And that's what it's about. It is a we. And that's how we do everything.
Not only
in our marriage and in our family, we think about everything, but in our military career. It's a big team of people, from the unit that we serve, to the wing that we serve, to the Air National Guard, to the Air Force. It's a big team of people.
Please tell me that you fight from time to time.
I think we have had two arguments in our marriage.
Okay, you meant to be forever. You meant to be. You really found each other.
I just know my place.
You are so smart. You are so good, man. And I will agree with you because nothing worse than an unhappy wife. And you can make this eye smiling. Is that just the biggest prize for husband to know that she's happy? And what a woman you have.
He's a good man.
You have a strong, beautiful human being next to you.
I've been through another marriage. I'm not obviously her first marriage either. And by the time we met each other, we knew what we were looking for in each other. Mm-hmm. So it makes for a good marriage. And we hardly ever argue because we were friends first, which really helped.
Yeah. And
he's my best friend.
Yeah. But sometimes if people fight, they try to just not give one on another the little push for somebody to achieve something that they want, you know. And I think it's people who are both in a very strong businesses, that the agreement that you both can do well, and now is your time, you know, and just meet somehow in the middle and enjoy so much success of, you know, separating together. I think it's a tough.
But we lift each other up. And I think that's what you have to do in a marriage, is lift each other up and support each other. Yeah, and it just works for us.
It's a partnership. There's not a boss. We both understand each other. So one thing I'll bring up is, like, when I was deployed in 2008, when the economy took a nosedive, we were doing quite well business-wise. We had employees, and the plan was when I came back is we were going to expand. We were going to put 3 more trucks on the road because we were turning down 12 jobs a day, and everything was going very well. But while I was deployed, it all came to a halt because of the economy. And when the economy dropped, but she dealt with it. She handled it. And she said, you're in a combat zone. You know, you're running around in these countries, and you don't need to be worried with my head somewhere else, saying my business. So she handled it, and she took care of it. And I didn't know till I got home that I came home and the phone wasn't even ringing twice a day.
Wow.
And so we just, as a team, did what we need to do and got through it. And now we're back to the point to where I'm booked, 2 weeks out?
Mm-hmm.
And
busy.
We've worked it with some of the plumbers that work with me. We work together, and when I have military duty, they cover for me now and can take some of my customers. So we have a nice network in the area that we plumb in.
And you can sing your heart out.
I do.
Where did you last time had a show together?
Actually, on November 6th, the band was playing for the LA Rams, and I was chosen to sing the national anthem for the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that was amazing.
You're a star, woman.
I think there was 86,100 people in the stadium.
Oh, my gosh.
Not to mention the national scream after
when you finished. I cannot even imagine. You have the record till end when they like, whoa. You have that somewhere.
It's on our Facebook page.
Oh, my gosh. Let's listen to your voice. We are singing right now,
Thank
Georgia.
You.
Okay.
Georgia,
Show is almost over for today, and the sound of the big band, this is my favorite. I was singing for so many years with big band in my own country, and I'm going back right now to my country, to Poland, for tour with the orchestra after 20 years of not singing with them.
Nice.
And then it's just very, very special sound in my own heart. And then today I need to one more time maybe introduce our guest who just maybe start listening right now. We are talking to
Aaron McPherson.
And your position?
Senior Master Sergeant.
And husband?
And Scott McPherson. I'm also a Senior Master Sergeant.
Happy, very happy couple, 17 years together. Scott, now I would love to just talk to you a little bit. If I forgot something, if we would love to say thank you to somebody, or if you want to leave us with some good, important message, we have 2 minutes. Go!
Go, okay. Well, really what I want to let people know is what we do. So our responsibility in the Air Force and the Air National Guard is to get the word out. We're the face of the Air Force. People don't see the pilots. People don't see the mechanics or the med techs. So our job as bandsmen is to go out in that community and put that message out there of what these people are doing, and not only for the Air Force, for the Navy, for the Marines, depending on what area we're in and what we're supporting, to allow people to understand what their local unit is doing. We're responsible for 8 Western states. So if we're in Idaho, we remind people what the Idaho Air National Guard is doing, or what the active duty Air Force is doing, or any military group. So we do have an important role, and just like right now, this is what we do. We just had some deployers come back, a little over 100 deployers come back from our wing that were deployed overseas doing their mission, the same mission that the active duty Air Force does. When you go there, you don't know the difference between a guardsman and an active duty person. It doesn't say anything on the uniform. So our job is to get that message out to people so people don't forget that the Air National Guard or the Army National Guard or the Air Force or the Army or whatever the case may be, they're out there serving their country, putting their lives on the line to keep us safe.
We serve as musical ambassadors. That's who we are, musical ambassadors.
For how many years right now, both of you?
22 for me.
Scott,
and
for you.
Almost 38.
The smile of your both faces, the beautiful eyes, this means something so much to me, to seeing how happy both of you are, because I know music for me and friends that I'm writing and producing means everything. But you, again, I'm repeating, your life is so different and so extraordinary, and you both are just perfect, perfect souls, American souls, patriots, and your family also is everything what we need to look up to and be proud of. Then I am so thankful you could be here with me on Accent On with Ilona Europa on LA Talk Radio together.
Thank you so much.
Then we, yeah, for today, this is end of our show, and I believe we'll meet again and we'll maybe play one of your songs, and maybe you'll be playing drums live when your wife is singing in a studio that I will book for her. Why not? We need to have even one single for you that you have and you can show. And I will be very happy to organize this for you, okay? Thank you so much for listening today. Again, the most beautiful couple ever. And Ilona Europa, your host of Accent On, is just the happiest human being today on the earth. Till next Monday. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.